All right, everybody, let's worship. Welcome to Awake Up Memphis. Lord, we ask you to open our eyes this morning. We want to see what you see, Jesus. Break our hearts with what breaks yours. Lord, let us see people's hearts the way that you see them. Lord, we want to see you more than anything else, Jesus. We want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, Lord. We want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Yes, Lord, you are holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. We want to see you. Come on, let's sing it together. Holy, holy, holy. There's none like you, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, holy, holy. We want to see you. We want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. We sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. We want to see you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overwhelmed by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free, my shame is undone. Yes, it's undone. Hallelujah. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are well. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Overcome by your presence, your presence. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let's pray this. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. In your presence, Lord. In your presence, Lord. In your presence. Yes, Jesus, we're We're so honored to be here this morning. We're honored to be in your presence. What an amazing love, what an amazing King we serve. Yes, Jesus. Lord, let us go out into the world and declare your name, that your name is above all names, that you are a King. You are a King who sets us free. Lord, our relationship with you, let it shine everywhere we go.
Shiara, could you come up here and pray before Dave preaches? Dave was here last Tuesday, and then he went to Atlanta for the last 3 days doing a revival. Dave has a program at 7 a.m. on KWAM called America Back to God, and it's all about revival and prayer. You haven't heard it, 7 o'clock Sunday mornings. It's incredible. Shiara, if you come up here and lead us and pray for Dave before he goes.
Let us pray. Abba, we come before your presence, acknowledging your holiness. You are holy God, and you have raised us up, Lord, from the miry clay, and you have set our feet on the rock of your Son, Yeshua, Jesus. You have washed us clean. You've made us holy. You have set us apart for your honor and glory. Lord, we are but earthen vessels, and you have poured out your Spirit. You have made your dwelling in us. Lord, such knowledge is too great for us. We're humble before you this morning, Abba, that we can call you Abba. We can call you Father, Daddy, in whatever language, Lord, we can call you with our endearing terms of what we know about a father. Lord, this morning my heart is so moved to just give you a hug, because you're a good, good father, and you love us, and you call us your sons and daughters. Lord, you have prepared a table before us, before our enemies. We cannot comprehend what that looks like. Lord, as we just continue to seek you, and search for wisdom, search for truth in the word that you have given us, Lord, we're so amazed. We're so amazed by that high calling that you have placed in each and every one of us, calling us upward, Lord, calling us heavenward. Yet you have placed us on the earth this day, in this season, Lord. So, Father, I just pray that you would just prepare us more and more for the season that you have given us life on the earth, and to know who you have called us to be, your sons and daughters that carry your name, that carry your DNA, God, that carry your Spirit that raised your Son from the dead. That same Spirit lives in us. Holy Spirit, we bow to you. We surrender to you. We submit our lives to you, that you would do what pleases you through us. And Lord, I just commit my brother Dave to you, and I thank you that wherever he goes, it seems that you have prepared a feast. And Lord, I know that we are about to be feasting in your word. I pray, God, that you will use him, Lord, to provoke us, to awaken us once more. Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit on him. Pour out that oil on him, Lord. Anoint him, God, even as you anointed Aaron, and that oil flowed down his beard, God. I pray for that anointing over my brother, Lord, that wherever he goes, wherever his feet touch, that anointing will follow and will pour out through him, Lord, and change that ground, change those who are around him. Lord, use him mightily for your glory. And we just submit our hearts to you today, Lord. Ask that your perfect will be done, and that you will etch your words in our hearts and change us completely today, Lord. When we leave, that we will not be the same. We surrender to you, we honor and we glorify you, King of kings and our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. In your name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, one and all. You can look at somebody and say, you look good for a Tuesday morning. Amen. I heard Henry back there. He's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Well, it is a delight to be here since last week. God did a precious work in here last Tuesday morning. Then going on to Georgia, had a tent crusade over there, and several tents were set up, and just a tremendous move of God every night. I wish I could just take all of you all with me on the bus just to see what God does in some of these meetings. It's just amazing. Almost every week, someone comes up and says, I've never seen anything like this in my life. One man came up one night this week and he said, man, if I was lost, I'd have gotten saved tonight. You know, when Jesus is lifted up and the cross is preached and the Spirit of God is moving and people are overwhelmed and you look out and there's people weeping throughout the whole tent. You can't explain it except the hand of God. And you know it's not you. It's only the Holy Spirit that can do that. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't do it, there's nothing to it. And every chapter of the book of Acts, they're in prayer, except for two, and in those two chapters, they're in trouble. I like what Arvin Geswein said. He said that prayer must always be central and not peripheral. It must be frontal. I say it must be central and not parenthetical. Prayer isn't, oh, let's pray for this meeting we're going to have, you know, this big revival crusaders. No. It's born in prayer. It's carried along in prayer. It's sustained in prayer. And it'll die when prayer stops. And I've seen the same thing in the moves of God in revival, that it's born in the place of prayer. It continues when people pray, but it stops when they quit praying. And there's a difference between praying for revival and revival praying, and preaching toward revival and revival preaching. You see, you preach toward revival about brokenness and the confession of sins and various things like that. Well, what happens when they begin doing that and things begin to happen and services go for hours and lives are being transformed and people are being saved and you don't get out till midnight because God's moving, or you're dismissed three or four times and they look at you and say, we're not going anywhere. God's here. You keep going. And you keep going. Well, you don't preach quite the same things. And God takes everyone he's going to use through a real breaking experience. He'll take what we give to him as the little lad with the five barley loaves and two small fish. Andrew brought him to Jesus, and he gave it to Jesus, and Jesus received what he gave to him. Maybe you sit here this morning and you think, Lord, what I have isn't big enough to give to you. Well, it's probably bigger than five barley loaves and two small fish. Well, Lord, I don't know that you've ever really used me in the past. And God says, I'll use anybody that's willing to be used. You say, but Lord, all I have is just little. Give it to him. Little is much when God is in it. It's amazing what God can do with the little that we give. In fact, I'm quite frankly thrilled that you see it as something little. If you saw something big and humongous and wonderful and all this, I'm not sure God would use it too much. But God loves taking the things that seemingly are small to us and taking it and putting his hand on it and displaying his power and his glory in transformation. So the little lad brought it to Jesus. He received it. What Jesus receives, he blesses. Remember, he looked up into heaven? He didn't just look toward heaven in the literal. He looked into heaven. He had a heavenly vision. We can stop right there and talk all day about that. Listen, when we come to the place of prayer, we must have that beatific vision. The place of preaching, we must have that beatific vision, witnessing the beatific vision, breathing the beatific vision, riding down the road in your car alone with God, that beatific vision of being filled with the wonder and glory of the face of the Lord Jesus himself. That we live on that mountain, as it were, so that when we leave that mountain, the glory of another world so shines on us in this world that they come to your church just to watch you shine. Amen, brother. He said he preaches the bark off the trees. You drive through his neighborhood, there's a bunch of barkless trees around there, I'm sure. Amen. But to have that time with God, you know, humor and God don't mix. You ever figure that out? When there's a moving of the Spirit of God, that's not the place and time for humor. There is a place and time for humor, but that's not the place and time for humor. And I've seen sometimes when someone jumped over and there was a move of the Spirit in the service and they jumped over into some humor and the glory of God just lifted up off the service and he didn't come back the rest of the service. And it's so easy to do that. And in fact, I had a good joke for Paul, but I'm not going to tell it. Amen. But to see the glory of God, to see the move of God. And this week I saw that over there in Georgia. And Sunday night was the last meeting at 5 o'clock, and they were flooding the altars all over the place, and they were praying. It was just a tremendous, tremendous move of God. And the keyboard didn't work, and the guy had it plugged in, and it wouldn't work. So I'm thankful I had this little thing right here with a bunch of music on it. Amen. So we plugged this thing in, and we sang and worshiped and praised the Lamb of Almighty God. Well, David mentioned about finishing a little bit from last week, and then I'm going to transfer over as well. We were in 2 Chronicles 7:14 last week, as you recall, and if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I didn't cover it too much, but the what of revival, what is revival, what does it look like? Arthur Wallace said, it is God revealing himself to man in awful holiness and irresistible power. It's such a manifest working of God that human personalities are overshadowed and human programs abandoned. It's man retiring into the background because God has taken the field. I love that. It's man retiring into the background because God has taken the field. It's the Lord making bare his holy arm and working in extraordinary power on saint and sinner. Joseph Kemp said, revival, strictly speaking, means the reanimating of that which is already living but in a state of declension. My mentor, Stephen Olford, he defines it as that strange and sovereign work of God which he visits his own people, restoring, reanimating, and releasing them into the fullness of his blessing. One of my favorite definitions of revival by D.M. Panton, he defines it this way. It's the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing into a body that's threatening to become a corpse. I think sometimes in many churches, all we're doing, we're taking dead bodies, as it were, and trading with other morticians at other churches. People are moving around. There's really no life. And what God wants to do is to breathe into the slain and breathe life back into the churches. And COVID has been devastating, and churches often don't have the people coming back as of yet. And yet God is more than willing to blow if we're willing to prophesy or what he says to prophesy and trust and believe him to do it. I used to kind of be a little bit irritated when God would send me to churches that were dead. And I finally said, God, why do you keep sending me to dead churches? He said, because they're dead. And I want to breathe life into them. So now I go in and I say, well, is the Holy Spirit here today? And they look at me, you know, I go, yeah, I brought him. He's here. Amen. And so God loves to work, and he's looking for somebody through whom to do it. And they don't have to be that educated or anything. Just be willing, a willing vessel for God to use you and to say, Lord, I'm willing to humble myself and pray. He said, if my people who are called by my name, the word called there literally means to summons. My lawyer brother, it literally means to summons. What God is saying is you have the drought factor in the land and there's no rain, or if there's pestilence and disease everywhere, he gives the setup what the problem is. And spiritually speaking, I've been running through my mind all morning long, Amos 8, about 10 and 11, where God says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall run from the north even to the east, from sea to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Listen, if you stopped hearing from God, you're in a dangerous position. You're circling that mountain, and God's not speaking. You're not hearing his voice, that preceding word from God, giving you direction and guidance. You are in a bad place. It's a bad place to be when you cease hearing from God. But to take that time every morning and afternoon and night or whatever you need to do to get along with God and open the Bible and say, oh God, I humble myself before your word. Lord, I pray, speak to my soul. Do something in me. I will not live a dead, dormant, dry Christian life. I will not live without the power of the Holy Spirit upon my life in witnessing and evangelism and preaching or singing or praying. I will not be a dead, dry, washed up Christian. And God, I want to stay here in this place until you do something in me. I'm not going to deny my condition. I'll acknowledge it before you. That, Lord, sometimes I got to be aware of the barrenness of a busy life. It's easy to get so busy you become barren and bereft of the breeze and the wind and the dew of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. But to have that time with Almighty God where you open that word, like last night before going to bed in that motel somewhere east of Memphis, Tennessee, somewhere over there. They didn't have any TV or any Wi-Fi. I didn't care. All I cared about was heat last night. Amen. Nope, my Bible before going to sleep in Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the high and lofty one, the one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know what amazes me sometimes? If you went somewhere and preached on 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves
and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. To pray means to stand before as a legal agent. It means you're being a lawyer. You're advocating. You're summoned by God to pray and humble yourself. And then he uses the very legal term. You're an advocate before Almighty God, arguing your case before him. That word there, humble yourself, literally means to bend the knee. It's amazing to me how you can preach that text, have an invitation, and not one person can walk an aisle and bend their knee before the God of creation. When we take that verse and say, oh, that's a wonderful verse about revival. Amen, brother. Preach it, brother. Amen. And yet we can't bend our knees and do what that verse says. And we wonder why we don't see revival. Because we don't take the word of God for what he says. He says, if you'll bend your knee, that means in the Hebrew, bend your knee. It's not rocket science, church. But we get so complacent and so indifferent. And God knows if you have a bad knee. I've got a bad knee from throwing football with kids and a bad right foot. It's feeling better today than it has in a long time. Amen. But I tell you, there's a time when you put all that aside and you get on your knees. You go back and look at the early days of Billy Graham and the Crusades, you'd find him in a hotel room the night before, on his knees crying out to God. Stephen Ofer, you could hear him next door in a hotel room, on his knees crying out to God for power the next day. I look back at anyone that God has ever used mightily and greatly, and as far as I can see, nearly every single one of them literally would get on their knees and pray and cry out to God. Because it's an outward demonstration of an inward response of humility. God, I know I'm tired, but I got to get on my knees. Lord, I know I got things to do today, but Lord, I'm going to get on my knees. I want to take my time and get on my knees. And I don't care if I got my good pants on, my bad pants on, if the ground is clean or dirty. We need to get beyond the embarrassment level, then friend, until our desperation level gets beyond our embarrassment level, we'll never see a move of God. But God says, when you get so desperate for me and so hungry for me that you don't care what anybody says or thinks anymore. Because believe me, when God begins to do something in your life and through you, you might get called an odd duck once in a while. Amen. But that's all right. Be an odd duck for Jesus. People say, I like the kind of preachers that are nice and smooth and even keel the whole way through in their sermon. I will tell you that probably isn't the Holy Spirit. Does the wind stay that way the whole time when it blows? No. Does the Holy Spirit stay that way? No. There's the gusts and the slight breezes and then the storms and then the coolness and then just the, you stand on that seashore, go to California. I'm from Arizona. I go over to the west sometimes and you can get out there and you can hear those waves roaring. You can feel that breeze blowing. You can smell that salt as it were in the air. It's never consistently the same. And that's how the Spirit of God moves, church. He's not consistently the same. He's moving greatly, quietly. Directionally, you can't tell from where it comes or where it goes, but in the literal Greek, the wind is blowing where it wills. And so really the secret for you and I is simply stand with your hands, as it were, stand with your shipping vessel and catching the wind of the Spirit of the living God as he blows. He blows this way in prayer. You go that way. He blows this way. You go that way. He blows this way. You go that way. He blows that way. You turn around and go that way. It's living in the wind of the Spirit of the living of Almighty God. And you begin to see God move in powerful ways. The whatever revival... I said last week there was an appearance. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night in verse 12. The spirit of revival is the consciousness of God, Arthur Wallace said in his book, In the Day of Thy Power. When there's a move of God in revival, there's always the appearance of a person to somebody and to a people. God always shows up to an individual in a fresh way. Many of you in this room, you have had a move of God in your own personal life where God has met you as an individual in a fresh way. God will take what we give to him. He'll take it, he'll bless it, he'll break it, but then he'll multiply it. And he fed 5,000 plus wives and children from a little bitty meal that a lad came and had in his hand. And God is saying today, will you bring to me your fives and your twos? Will you bring to me your barley loaves and your little small fish? Will you bring to me what is there? Many times you're going to want to quit. You're going to feel like quitting. You're going to feel like backing up. You're going to think it's too hard. It's too heavy. I can't do it. There's too much involved. I need too much help. It costs too much. You'll have every reason in the world to quit. Well, just give your quitter to Jesus as well. Amen. Listen, the death of death is in the death of the cross. The death of death is in the death of the cross. How do you handle the dead marriage through the death of the cross? How do you handle the dead church through the death of the cross? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What do you do with a dead friendship? The death of the cross. The Lord through death springs resurrection, power, and life. And that is the answer. I counsel people all the time, counsel marriages all the time. If they would just learn that the death of their marriage, the way to cure that is through the death of the cross of Calvary, dying to self. That in that death, there's resurrection, power, and life. The problem is, we're not willing to die. We're too full to be empty to be filled. God says, be empty and I will fill and do a great work. Well, let me hurry up here. Y'all listen too good. There's an appearance. Jonathan Edwards, Enfield, Kentucky, preached that sentence in the hands of an angry God, but God met with him. In Dundee, that man that was called to preach, and he ran away and hid, and they couldn't find him, and he was the preacher. Beloved me, if you're a preacher, you know exactly what that's like. You're sitting there before you get up, and you're crying out to God, God, isn't there anybody else that could preach today and not me? Isn't there somebody else you have to do this and not me? Lord, you've got a bunch of more people, a bunch more gifted, and a bunch more talented, and a whole lot more going than I do. Surely you've got somebody else to do this today. And they don't call someone else. They call you to get up. And you get up, you say, God, fill me. I can't do this. And God shows up. And he says, I want to do such a mighty work through my people. If they'll just slow down. And embrace me when I appear to them by night. In that quiet place. In that dark place. Where Jesus delights in appearing to you. God loves taking the weak things of the world to confound the wise. Father, we just all come in our weakness today. We're all weak, Lord. We acknowledge that. We acknowledge it. And we acknowledge, Lord, what Paul said. He said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, church, could right where you sit just now, could you just say that to the Lord? Now, Lord Jesus, you said in your word, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Lord, right now, I glory in my weaknesses. We glory in our weaknesses. That the power of Christ may rest upon us. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Lord, how many times I think of hearing the voice of Billy Graham years ago in that New York crusade in 1957 when they ended the final service, Lord. In downtown New York. And one of those services was in Yankee Stadium. Billy looked around and he told the people, he said, there's no way man could do this. Only the Spirit of God can do this. And Lord, we ask you today, will you do something in our day? Will you do something, oh God, where all we could say is no man can do this? Only the Spirit of God can do this. Lord, we're tired of low living. We're thankful for all that you're doing and all that you've done. But Father, your word says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, unto him be glory in the churches throughout all ages, world without end. We ask you collectively as one body this morning, Lord Jesus. In fact, can we just stand together and pray this? Can we just stand together where you are and just say, oh God, we're going to stand on Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And Father, right now, we stand before you as a lawyer. We appeal to you, the judge of all the earth. And we ask you, Lord, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or even think. Let it be recorded in the record books of heaven just now that that group on a Tuesday morning in Germantown, Tennessee, how you brought people here from all over the nation to be here, me from Arizona, the sister back there from California, my brother back here from overseas, Father, people all around this room from other places you brought here, and you brought us and you've given us a oneness of heart and a oneness of spirit, and we simply say, oh God, we're desperate for you. And we ask you, Lord, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And Lord, we live in expectation to see you doing that. Lord, you that filled stadiums in the past, Lord, do it again. Lord, you that saved thousands of souls in one crusade, do it again, oh God, because you're not weak. You don't sleep. You don't slumber. God, raise up somebody and do it again in this nation and bring, not only call, but in the call, bring this nation back to you, oh God. Bring us back to the cross. Bring us back to the gospel. Bring us back to the word of God. Bring us back to the throne of God. Bring us back to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Because, Lord, we can't fix this nation. Only you can. Now, I know men and women can be salt and light. They can run for office like my brother's doing, oh God. And we are to do all of that. But even in all of that, we acknowledge we can't do it, but you can. See, we look afresh to you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of him whose heart is perfect toward him. You didn't even say them. You said him. You're looking for one person. You're looking through one man or one woman through whom you could pour out your spirit in prayer, who knows how to come before the throne and lay hold of the horns of the altar and cry out to Almighty God until, Lord, you shake this nation and bring us back to yourself. God, shake this nation, I pray today, in Jesus' name. Turn it upside down. Bring it back unto yourself. May they run to the church houses of the living God, crying out for mercy and grace in this nation again. Lord, I know revival may come through persecution, but I would rather it come through intercession, Lord. I'd rather it come through intercession. I'd rather it come through destitution in that sense. I pray it doesn't take persecution to bring us back to you. I don't agree with some of these believers. They talk as if they're just happy when persecution comes. I don't know what rock they were born on. Who wants persecution? I pray that we would just simply humble ourselves and not wait to be humbled. And today we humble ourselves before you, oh God, best we know how. And we humble ourselves and we seek your face and we turn from our wicked ways. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, we bless your name. You said, I will hear from heaven. I'll give you a hearing. That's what it is. I'll give you a hearing, you said. I'll forgive your sin. You'll make a judicial declaration and an act of forgiveness over a nation, a people, a church of the living God. And I will heal their land. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Heal us, we pray in Jesus' name, that Jesus may be glorified, that he alone is Lord over our lives, over I passed how many churches today, Lord, driving in here. Beautiful facilities, oh God. May the glory of God abound in every one of them once again in a fresh way. We thank you, Jesus, and we give you all the glory. Oh, Lord, one last thing, Lord. Now, Lord, you know I've never been married. And I don't have any children and all of that, but there's people in this room that do. And I pray that you work in such a great way, Lord, that their children will want the God of mom and daddy. The children will want to see the mighty works of God. That they'll hear the stories of what God did. And they'll say, God, do it in our generation. God, don't leave us. God, don't leave us, Lord. Don't set us aside. But God, use the next generation for your honor and glory alone. And I pray this, God, seal it on them in Jesus' name. Raise up a band of children, Lord, that will walk with you, that will pray, that will live in the scriptures, look to the Savior, and lean upon the Holy Spirit, and they might usher in another mighty move of the living God across this nation and across the world once again. India, China, all over the world, Lord Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' high and holy and glorious name. That, Lord, you have all jurisdiction over everything we've prayed for this morning. We come to you because you're judge of all the earth and all of creation. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. The hour of desperation. There's a person. There's a prayer. How timely. I didn't even plan this. Verse 12b. He said, I have heard thy prayer. Amen, church. God wants us to pray as we have been doing this morning. And he's saying right here through the rhema word, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer, Jerry. I've heard your prayer, Henry. I've heard your prayer, David. I've heard your prayer, preacher. There's nothing more joyful than to know when the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit and your spirit. I've heard your prayer, sister. I've heard your prayer, son. When he says, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. You see, there's no professional prayers. We're all in the school of the Spirit. Amen, church. We're all in the school of prayer. We're all learning in prayer. Oh, dear God, there's a prayer. He said, I've heard your prayer. And there's a place. God says, I have chosen this place to put my name there. We prayed, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And he's here in me. He said, I've chosen this place for myself, he said. I think it's great when you pass by churches, and if they have the pastor's name on the sign, it's in real small print. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, being trained there years ago at the Billy Graham organization, I'll never forget when I first walked up to the building, I was shocked. There was no huge sign that said the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association across the side of this building. All it had was in small print across the glass door, the front door, in very small print, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association in real small print. We all know, and we all have said, it's amazing what God can do and will do if we don't care who gets the glory. And we all agree with that. But I sense your hearts that we're all in one accord in what I'm about to say. Lord, we are so thankful for what you have done. But, oh, God, we're so hungry to see you do a whole lot more than what we've seen you do in the past. Amen, church. You are welcome here. Sing that, Paul. Whatever you're going to sing, sing it. To know that you are
God and God alone.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I sing a song for you.
Praise you.
Oh, how I long for you.
Praise you.
As your river runs by me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
As your river runs by me,
let it run more.
As your river runs by me,
oh, let it flow.
I find life, I find peace, I find joy. As your river runs by me.
Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
River runs by me.
He that believes into me, as the scripture hath said.
River runs by me.
Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
I find life, I find peace, I find joy.
In this spake he of the Holy Spirit.
I find life, I find peace, I find joy.
Oh Lord.
I find life, I find peace, I find joy. As your river runs by me, as your river runs by me, as your river runs by me, I find life. I find peace, I find joy, as your river runs by me.
When Elijah met the prophets of Baal, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, just listening, it says he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. There was a process. The process involved prayerfulness. He repaired the altar. The process involved brokenness. They dug trenches around the altar. They broke up the ground. The process involved emptiness. They were empty trenches. Didn't Jesus say, the word say in Acts 1, tarry ye until you're endued with power from on high. There was a process. There was a prayer in verses 36. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. That was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When Jesus cried out, it is finished, was 3 in the afternoon. Darkness cried out. Rather, that was the time of the evening sacrifice in the temple. But Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. You see, he was declaring his case law, the covenant laws of God's covenants in the past. Let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I'm your servant. Church, I want to encourage you. There's nothing wrong with you saying, oh God, let it be known this day that you're God and that I'm your servant. It's not arrogant to say, Lord, that I'm your servant. Don't let the devil cheat you out of that, church. That I am your servant, and that I have done all these things in your word. God, give us grace to do whatever you tell us to do. All these things in your word. That's our prayer, Lord. That's our plea. That's our commitment. And it says, hear me, O Lord, hear me. That means to answer me, to reply, to give evidence, to testify, to lift up the voice and begin to speak. That's legal terminology. Give me a hearing, Lord, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their back again to you. Then there was the power. The process, the prayerfulness, brokenness, emptiness, the prayer. And then the power, there was a demonstration. Then the fire of the Lord fell. And there was a consummation and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And then it didn't consume the water. The word says it licked up the water that was in the trench. So Elijah fell on his face in prayer. The fire from heaven fell on the altar. And the result was the people fell in verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Elijah said to them, take the prophets of Baal, let them, not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Get rid of all false teaching in the land when the fire of heaven falls. And that river flows by means of the cross. Go ahead and sing, Paul.
Good to be in your presence, Lord. Just to know that you are God and God alone. We sing a song for you. Oh, how we long for you. And your river runs by. Good to be in your presence, Lord. There's no place better.
Thank you for joining us this morning at Awaken Me. For questions, comments, or prayer requests, please email awakenme at info@jesushelps.me. info@jesushelps.me. Or call 1-855-775-3787 and leave a message. 1-855-775-3787. Awaken Me is an all-volunteer group, so please leave a message and we will return your call. To hear more messages from the pastors and guest speakers of Awaken Me and more worship led by Bruce Carroll and Paul Berkus, please visit our website, jesushelps.me. That's jesushelps.me. Please join Awaken Me here on KWAM every Sunday at 10 a.m. Once again, thank you for joining us this morning at Awaken Me.
This is a Valley of the Well production.